Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
We're starting a new series today called Frequency, Hearing the Voice of God. And for those of you who are visiting or may not know who I am, my name is Nelly. I'm the pastor here. And if you're visiting, we're really glad you could join us today. So this is the new series. In fact, we were actually supposed to do a series on relationships and marriage in line with Cesar's prophecy. I mean, in line with Valentine's Day. But we felt led of the Lord. Well, I felt led of the Lord, and I got in touch with my wife who's overseas, and Roisin and Myrtle, and I said, you know, I think we need to pray because I feel like God wants us to do a series on hearing God's voice. And so we immediately switched up, and there was a consensus that, yeah, this is the direction we need to move in. The reason why I bring that up is because I want you to know that we have all the sermon series mapped out for the rest of the year, but there is this flexibility according to the leading of the Lord. And even in the delivering of this series, I think it's a testament to us being able to hear from God and be flexible. There's a saying that of one of my very close friends in Singapore. He would say, he's our media pastor back in our church in Singapore. He would say, "Blessed are the flexible, for they will never be broken." And so I want to encourage you, you know, like in your walk with God, to be flexible and just let God be God, because all things will work together for the good of those who love him according to his purpose. Now, how many of you love films? How many of you love movies? I am a movie buff. I love movies. Now, my wife and I differ in our movie tastes, and I can kind of talk about this because she's not here. But she loves action films. It's kind of strange because she likes the films that I'm supposed to like. I'm more of the artsy dude. I like independent films. I like I'm the guy. For the last almost 20 years, I've been keeping a tab of who's going to win the Academy Awards and all of this. This is one of the worst years for the Academy Awards, in my opinion, because Lego Movie got snubbed for animation. I mean, come on, not everything is awesome. But I'm kind of a movie nerd when it comes to movies. And one of the things I love about movies, when it's done right, when it's done correctly, is when people shift the plot of the movie in sequence. So what I mean by that is, like, let's say, for instance, the end part is shifted to the beginning so that there's an moment about three quarters of the way through. Have you ever seen a movie like that? There's certain directors that specialize in this sort of movie. Well, this is the way I'm going to approach this message. I'm actually going to start from the end and then kind of bring you in. And hopefully, again, when it's done correctly, it's awesome. When it's not done correctly, just pray for me, all right? So if you've got your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to start from there. First Samuel chapter 3, it says, "At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he said, 'I did not call. My son, lie down again.' For Samuel did not know the Lord, did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." How many of you want a tingling ear today, hearing the voice of the Lord? Father, we thank you that your word is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray, Lord, that your word would meet us afresh here in our situations and whatever we're facing, God. Let your word come to life. Let your word be illuminated in our lives today. We want to hear directly from you. I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to filter out everything that would be a hindrance to us, Lord, concerns about the things outside of the four walls of the service. Lord, we just lay them all at your feet, and we come before your throne undistracted, Lord, wanting to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just tell you this. There's this prophetic image I see all the time, and it's every now and then when I'm in certain situations, God will show me this image of this jug. If you can imagine this jug pouring out water, and there's a constant flow of water coming out of this jug, but then there's this cup, and it sits under the water pouring, where the water's being poured, the stream of water that's coming out. It sits under that stream for a while, but then it moves. It's constantly moving. And the Lord, you know, every time the Lord has shown me that image, it's a sign that there's kind of like, I'll give you another prophetic image I get a lot, which is kind of more cute. But it's like a father grabbing his son or daughter by the cheeks, because their minds are all over the place. Like my kids. If you've ever seen my daughter Jordan, she's got cheeks to grab, you know? And so she's always like thinking about other things. And when I want to get her attention, I'll grab her cheeks, you know. Not in an abusive way, but like, you know, "Jordan, listen to daddy. We are going now, okay? Put the toys down. They don't belong to you. And they cost more than I can afford." So, you know, like when I want to get her attention, I have to line her up. And often at times, if we're like that cup that's constantly moving, we don't sit under the fullness of the outpouring of what's coming out that the Lord has for us. And a lot of times, it's because of the noise of this life that distracts us to move and constantly stay moving when God calls us to be still. I don't know if that image resonates with any of you, but it's a one that God constantly brings up. And this is one that he brought up again about 3 weeks ago when we were, you know, preparing for I was already preparing for the series that we were going to do, and God was like, no, that's noisy stuff. You just prepared that because Valentine's Day is coming up, and that kind of lines up. But here's what I want you to do, son. Let's pull everybody's attention under the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that everybody can get under the fullness of what I want to pour out. And so as your pastor, I just really want to see us be in that position where we receive all that God has for us, where we're able to be still. A lot of times, you know, for me personally, it's the noise of life. There's a difference between being intimate with God and being in ministry for God. Especially in the capacity that I have. And I want to refer to three particular characters that we will find ourselves in this study of his word approaching. And these three characters are the two that we've talked about, Samuel and Eli, and Samuel's mother, whose name was Hannah. And I want us to sit understanding that Eli was a professional man of God, meaning that his job was to take care of the temple. He was a priest, okay? But there's a difference between being a positional priest and being somebody who's positioned to hear from God all the time. Are you with me? Are you with me so far? So, you know, I wanted to bring that up. There's a difference between being positioned and being positional. There's a difference between being positioned and being positional. For instance, somebody can carry a title of pastor, but lack the ability to stay still and be still in the presence of God, hear his voice, be able to study the word of God in a way that would not only benefit themselves, but benefit others around them, to be able to teach the word of God. That's being positional and being positioned to be of benefit to other people. But some people are actually without position, just making disciples, just able to have a flow of the prophetic move out of their lives. It just comes naturally out of the intimacy that they have, without a title, without a positional title, God uses them because they spend time staying under the flow of God's outpouring. Are you with me? There's a difference. And my, you know, the thing that God is convicting me on, and call me selfish for preaching this to myself, but hopefully it'll hit in your heart somewhere. But like, my position is the senior pastor of Every Nation Brisbane. But it needs to move outside of the job description that I have to be able to be the shepherd that helps to guide you to a place where I go into the place of intimacy myself because I want to, not because it's on my job description. I have to. You see the difference there? And the danger is, and I know a lot of us have come from cultural backgrounds where there's certain positional views on things that there's an expectancy. And what happens is, and this is where religion comes in, we become good at the facade. We become good at knowing the verses and being able to quote the right verses at the right time, knowing the language of praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Yes, God is good all the time. You know, you get that echo like a hip-hop concert. God is good. And all the time, everybody say, ho, you know. And I say Jesus, you say Christ, and all that sort of stuff. You know the lingo. You can even, you know, pretend like you're praying in tongues. Just say the name of a terrorist real quickly. Osama bin Laden, Osama bin Laden. You know, just... That's what it means to be positional. It's like you can fake it. You're in a place where you can fake it. And let me tell you something. I grew up in church. My mother is outside taking care of my son. You can talk to her. All 30, going on 40, years of my life, I've been in church, practically born under the organ. I have learned the art of faking it. I've learned the art of being positional. And it's not to say that, you know, not to point the finger at, because I learned from this person or that person. No, because I know what it's like with regards to the job description. My father growing up, you know, was a pastor, but definitely a man who had a relationship with God himself. And a lot of that is the reason why I walk with God now. But I know the danger, everybody. And the danger can be that as this church grows, and it will grow because God wants it to grow, not because of my gift or any of our structure or any of that, but God wants this church to grow. But as it grows, there can be a tendency to get caught up in the busyness and not hear directly from God, not get under the outpouring and become positional. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? And this is the reason why God wants us to understand this truth of being still, of learning to kill the noise of life, getting away with God at a place of desperation. Now, last week I gave you the analogy of Tina cooking a meal for me, as she does. So good at it. Knows my favorites, and she calls me up, honey.
Yes.
Like I said, right? When we talk to the ones we love, our voice drops 2 octaves. Honey.
Yes.
Prepared all your favorites. This, that. Ooh. You know, so I'm really excited, but I pop into the drive-thru because I'm really hungry. I said, oh, just get a little fill me up. We call them TMOs where I'm from. TMOs stands for tie me over. And so, you know, driving I'll just get a couple of nuggets. What? Okay, 20 nuggets. And then, you know, just drive through and get home, and you're eating politely at the table. And that's what it means to be a positional leader, is that we're full of the things of this world, yet we sit in church. There's not this desperation that we once had to pursue the presence of God. We used to have it. We used to come to church, you know, just longing and chasing after the presence of God. We used to love the things of God and going after him, but somehow over seasons of time, we've kind of lost it because we've grown in ritualism. We've begun to prioritize other things. There's not that same smile when we're singing, your praise will ever be on my lips. How can your praise be on your lips if your lips are down? And so, you know, this is where I'm coming at, my brothers and sisters, is that it's so easy. And you've got to understand, one of the main tactics of the enemy is his subtlety. He does not come out. I don't care what horror movies say, because horror movies, you know, they build it up with the music and then it comes out, blah! Like the devil comes out, blah! He's subtle. He doesn't just come out, pornography! He'll come out, oh, you know, it's okay to look at this. What, that movie's okay. That thing's okay. It's just the music video, man. It's just the beat. You're not listening to the lyrics anyway. We'll get in your spirit. And the subtlety moves on this gradient. And then before you know it, you're in a place that you didn't know you'd be in. It's what you expose yourself to. And before you know it, you become positional rather than in a place where you are positioned under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, under that outpouring also comes the presence and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's not dreary obedience. It's loving worship towards Him. To be obedient is just a natural pride, byproduct of being in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So when you read a commandment, where you read John chapter 14, verse 15, where it says, where it says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Remember that one? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If we're outside of that outpouring, we will look at that commandment. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Oh, okay, I love you. I guess I gotta obey. But if you're in that outpouring, what the scripture is actually saying, if you love me, if you're in that outpouring, it's a natural byproduct to obey his commandments. That's what that scripture is actually saying. It's like, if you love me, if you're in this place of receiving this love and giving this love, it's a natural position to just obey. It's not a struggle, or not as much of a struggle, because what seems easy outside is not easy when you're in his presence. If you're in a deep moment of worship, the last thing you're thinking about is lustful thoughts. Because you're in that position and the presence of God is there. And that's why, you know, here at Ian Brisbane, we want to create environments where people encounter the presence, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because it's in that place that people are positioned to receive and hear everything that he has for them with regards to their lives, the lives of others, that they will be positioned in the calling that God has for their lives. See, there's a difference between being positional and being positioned. Are you with me today? Okay, so I've talked about being still, and when you are that cup or that vessel, that jar of clay that 1 Corinthians talks about, and you are positioned under that outpouring, the best way to receive everything that he has for you is to be still. There's a difference between being still and standing still. Standing still means you're not advancing in what God has for you. But if you're still under his outpouring, no matter where he pours, before you know it, you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know I'd be in this nation. Oh, wow, I didn't know. Wow, look at all these people that my life, God's choosing to use me in my life is affecting all these. Wow, God, I can't believe that I'm making disciples. It's just a natural byproduct of being in this outpouring, being in that place. You never hear an orange tree here in Queensland, some of the best oranges in the southern hemisphere. You never hear an orange tree here in Queensland going, I want to produce oranges. Never. It just is an orange tree. It's not trying to produce oranges. It's a natural byproduct of being an orange tree. A natural byproduct of being a disciple in the presence of God is to make disciples. Too many of us, how can I start the life group? How can I go here? Oh man, I'm going to call my people. You know, Len told me I had to call 5 friends, so I have to call 5 friends. Or, you know, Chelsea's going to be my disciple. If he sees me and I'm not producing, and God's like, you know what? Just sit under my outpouring. Just listen for my voice. And as I pour out my spirit, and the thing about pouring out his spirit is just when you think you've got enough, it overflows onto others. It's so easy. Well, that which you thought difficult just becomes so easy because not by might, not by power, but by his Holy Spirit, you'll see all things come to pass. Be still. Even here in Brisbane, look, I come from the region of the world that is busy. And if there's ever a sermon that preaches well, it's this sermon here. But I'm here to tell you that as Brisbane is advancing, even in regardless of what the election may say, even in its economy, so too will become the temptation to be that cup that just moves around, never sits in a position to be able to receive the fullness of the outpouring of what the Holy Spirit has for you today. So let's go back to 1 Samuel. I'm going to get to this image. I'll leave this here just to offend anybody who's religious. And why are you showing wine in church? You just had communion. Chill out. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, you don't have to, I won't read it, but go there. I'll encourage you to study this. Obviously, when we get together like this, it's to prompt you to study the word more deeply in your own time. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 describes this guy named Elkanah. He has two wives. Now, again, we don't endorse polygamy. Actually, this chapter is a main proponent as to why you don't have more than one wife. Because he had one wife named Peninnah, like the sewing machine. And another wife named Hannah, who is where we want to emphasize things. And so Peninnah had kids. Hannah, and this actually is true. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, it actually says that the Lord closed her womb. It was the Lord that closed her womb. And every time that Elkanah would go to the temple to offer sacrifices, Peninnah would make fun of Hannah and the fact that she had no kids. And Hannah goes to the temple one time, okay? Now, you got to understand, the temple is not just any church. The temple is the place of worship for the Israelites. So this says something of her desperation. You must also understand that, you know, the females of that culture in that particular time, for them to enter, and the Bible says that she stood right outside, just outside the entrance. So this is like, okay, I can't go any further. It would be breaking the law, Levitical law, but at the same time, this is how desperate I am for God's breakthrough. And when you actually study the scripture, she was actually there, yes, crying out for a child, but her cry was to have the opportunity to worship God with that child. See, because a lot of people misread it. They think that she got the spirit of comparison on her. You'll know about the spirit of comparison, right? And you see something that somebody else has, and then you go to the Lord, and you're like, can I have that? It looks good on them. Where's mine? It can be a thing. It can be a person. Just saying, Valentine's Day. It's like, where's mine? God, I tithed. Where's mine? Where's mine? This was not the case with Hannah. She saw children as an opportunity to have something to sacrifice, to give to God. And the fact that she didn't have children meant that she was limited in her ability to give to God. And this is the thing, okay? And this is where this whole positional thing comes in even more so. Because the Bible says that she was at the temple and she got to the place of deep prayer and desperation and worship where she wasn't saying anything, but her mouth was just moving. Some scholars would even say this was like praying in tongues before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But she was in such deep prayer that her mouth was just moving. And she was praying in this desperation. Now, what I want to get at is there's a guy named Eli, who is the priest, who is the positional leader, who supposedly has a deep relationship with God because he represents the people of Israel as God's spokesman. Yet, when he saw her in a place of such deep intimacy with God, he thought that she was drunk, which meant that he had never experienced that for himself. I'm saying, I'm not judging Eli, I'm just saying. And that's why he even went up to her and said, where's your bottle? Put it away. Get away from here. Don't bring shame on yourself. And she said, no, sir, I'm not drunk. I'm just in this position of prayer. I'm desperate for God to move. Oh, yeah. God is going to grant you what you are praying for. But I want to come back to that point because, again, and I prophesy this over our church, that this is going to be a place of deep worship. where we will be positioned, when we will know what it is like to be still. And there won't be just, one person that hears from God and everybody just feeds off that one person. That we all hear from God. That we're all positioned in a place where God's outpouring will pour on all of us. And we'll be able to hear his instructions for all of our lives. Look, the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me is the same Holy Spirit that speaks to Jessica. Same Holy Spirit that speaks to John Ale. The same Holy Spirit that speaks to Elika. It's the same Holy Spirit. And there will be this agreement amongst all of us as we stay in this position of being still. No matter where we move, no matter where we go, it's the same Holy Spirit. There will be this recognition. If somebody is moving in the Spirit and they're crying or they're acting in a way where God is obviously moving on their lives and on their hearts in that depth of worship, where we will recognize, no, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Especially if it's my job as a pastor who supposedly knows the boss. I should be able to recognize, because it's the same Holy Spirit in me. It's in Hannah, but he thought she was drunk. Let me just give this to you really quickly. I'm going to do a sermon on it later in the year, but I just want to give you a taste of this. Being drunk in the Spirit. Like Ephesians says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with Holy Spirit. The word in the Greek actually talks about being drunk in the Holy Spirit. Okay. If you look at this case in 1 Samuel 1, there was a judgment on her like she was crazy and drunk. 2 Samuel, David is dancing in his boxer briefs before the Lord, unadulterated. His wife, Michael, however you want to pronounce her name, she's standing out in the window, fogging the window up with her judgmentalism, looking at him, dancing before the Lord, worshiping before the Lord. She thinks that he's ridiculous in his unadulterated worship of God. I mean, the guy who wrote like 2/3 of the Psalms, hello. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit falls at the day of Pentecost and people start speaking in other tongues from all different nations. They start speaking. Glossolalia is the word in the Greek, meaning they spoke in other languages, decipherable languages. So you had Samoan guys speaking in Mandarin. You had Chinese guys speaking in Koinonia Greek. You had Koinonia Greek guys speaking in Swahili. I mean, they were speaking in different languages. And it was just wild, firstly, how different nations, good name for a church, every nation, we're all in that place worshiping God. That was the first trip. And the second trip, they were all like speaking each other's languages. What was the judgment on them? People that were on the outside looking in said that they were drunk. What happened after each of those times? Well, after David was dancing in that position, he became the greatest king in the Old Testament, arguably the greatest king that we've ever seen. God empowered him in that time of worship to be able to have the wisdom, have the intimacy, to be able to get in that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to be able to hear from God and lead the people of Israel the correct way. What happened after Acts 2? Well, pretty much we have Christianity as a result of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room that day where people were supposedly drunk. People forgot about racism that day. People forgot about classism, the differences in class. People just worshipped, even if they had dreadlocks and they were black in a parking lot. That's my brother in the Spirit. No, I mean, they just literally just gave it up. There was no racial barriers, no boundaries. Everything was broken that day, Acts chapter 2. What happens here? Hannah gets her son. What I love about it, if you read what I love about women in the Bible in general, the female heroes that we have in the Bible, is that they write songs after God gives them something. You know, Deborah in Judges, she writes a beautiful song with Jael after getting the victory over Sisera. After that victory, they write a beautiful worship song. After Mary's victory, in giving birth to Jesus, she writes a great song. After Hannah's victory in receiving a son, she writes a beautiful song. And you can all read it for yourself in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Later in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you read about Eli's sons. Again, a positional leader who gets busy discipling all of Israel in this position, but unfortunately does not bring up his own sons right. And his own sons are sleeping with a woman that they meet at the temple, basically like temple pimps. And they're taking some of the meat offerings that are being offered to the Lord for themselves. And God brings judgment on them. This is where we come to 1 Samuel. And this is where I want to close today. It's where we come to 1 Samuel chapter 3, where Samuel hears from the Lord. He doesn't even have that relationship with God. But because of Hannah's faithfulness and her earnestness in seeking God on his behalf, God chooses to expose himself to Samuel. Samuel doesn't recognize that it's God. The guy that's supposed to recognize that it's God should have recognized it the first time. Just saying again. They only recognize, oh, that's right. Oh, it's the third time. Oh, it must be God. Should be the first time. Second thing, I mean, if it's God, you wake up the first time. You don't just, go back to sleep. It's probably someone robbing you or something. You know, just this earnestness to hear from God. Maybe it is God. And this is where we also find God speaking to Samuel. He says his name twice. Remember that? Samuel, Samuel, because he doesn't know him yet. But he wants to get him familiar with his voice, because inevitably Samuel is going to be the prophet that anoints the greatest king that Israel would ever see. And also one of the worst ones, who was the first king. See, there's a difference, my friends. I hope you're getting where I'm getting at. Be careful this year in 2015 not to become a positional Christian, where you know the lingo, you know how to position yourself to make it look like it's all good. And you could fool all of us. Look, as your pastor, don't bother trying to please me. Don't bother trying to perform at a level where, oh yeah, as long as Pastor Natty's okay. Look, I'm not the one you should be pleasing. In fact, it would disappoint me if you think that way. But to be in a place where you develop your own intimacy with God, and that's my conviction, not just on your behalf, but on my own behalf, that I stay in a position where God would enable me to be still, despite the noise of Brisbane politics and elections, despite the noise of who's going to bring the NRL this year, despite the noise of even ministry, despite the noise of even if Pacquiao and Mayweather do not fight this year, I will be still and know that he is God. Despite the noise of if there's going to be that sale, that I'm really looking out for the clothes or whatever it may be. Despite the noise of whether my grades are I'm going to get the grade I need for all the students here. I will be still and know that you are God. I will position myself in a place of being still. That's the greatest thing you can do. Be still, kill the noise. Some of you need to limit time on Facebook. Facebook's a great tool. I'm not saying kill it completely. I mean, if the Holy Spirit leads you to kill it. But I'm just saying, you know, manage your time. If you spend more time with your face in Facebook than your face in the right book, then that's a danger. And myself, I know, I'm not saying this, you guys, you need to sort yourselves out. I'm saying this with me as well. You'll see me on Facebook. I'm saying this with regards to all of us. And whatever that distraction may be, are you positioned in a place of receiving the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you this question. I asked this question to the worship team, and I'll close with this question. As you are working your way towards what God is calling you to do in life, will you be okay if nobody ever saw it? Or are you really living for the applause of man? If no one ever heard the songs you wrote, no one ever saw the great theses that you wrote, no one ever saw the program that you put together to help people, no one ever saw the great workout plan that you had, you were hoping for a publishing deal, and someday somebody's going to see it, you get all bitter because nobody sees it, and God's like, really? I thought this was for me. Be still. He's God. He's God. Let's shut this thing down. Let's just pray at this time. I want us to take a moment to be still before him. Can I just get you to stand to your feet? Lily, can I get you to come down here? Let's sing that song. ever be. Just as if you are finding today that you're in a place where you know that you are not positioned to be in a place where you can receive fully from God. And for some of us, that may mean that you've not submitted your life to God at all. I mean, the first place for that to start is where He becomes Lord of your life. He's always been Lord, but it's the recognition of His Lordship in your life, meaning that He's in full control. When He's in full control, that's the greatest place to be, because then you are positioned to receive instruction from Him. But also, not just for those people, but also for those who would say, you know what, this year, Pastor Nelly, I want to be in that position. I don't want to be shaken around where I miss what God is pouring out, or what He's calling me to do, or what He's wanting me to do this year or for the rest of my life. I want to be still. I want to be in a place to receive from Him. If that's you today, again, this front area is an altar. I just want to encourage you to just come forward today. To come forward today so that I can pray for you. But let's just take this opportunity today to say, God, we want to be positioned in a place to receive from you. And I'm just going to get Lily just to sing the song. Just as our prayer is before we go. Lord, in order for your praise to continuously be on our lips, we need to be in a position where we're praising you all the time. Lord, we cannot offer worship and offer praise in a place of distraction and in a place where you're not the center of our focus. And so, God, as that psalm says, as the psalmist wrote, that we will bless the Lord at all times and let your praise continuously be on our lips. I pray that as we go from this place this week, Lord, that you enable us to be positioned in undistracted devotion, not undevoted distraction. Lord, enable us to sit in stillness, in secret, and find quiet places, despite having other things that often try to prioritize themselves in our lives. God, position us to be able to hear from you. To know you, I want to hear your voice. I want to know you, Lord. I want to touch you, I want to see your face. I want to know you, Lord. Sing that one more time as a prayer before we go. Say, I want to know you, I want to hear your voice, I want to know you, Lord. Oh, we do, Lord, I want to touch you, I want to see your face, I want to know you. That's our prayer tonight. As we go from this place, Lord, enable us to be positioned to hear from you, God. And Father, I pray for a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, that we may live this week out and all that you've destined for it, Lord God. Father, we believe for great things. We believe for miracles this week. We believe, God, for salvation this week, that people are going to come to know Christ. And Lord, we thank you in advance for an awesome week with you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week ahead. Don't forget, if you want to sign up for volunteer ministry, we have forms out there on the table. God bless you. If you need prayer for anything, please come forward. We'd love to pray for you. Peace.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.